If you do have your bulletin, you'll notice the outline for the sermon tonight. The title of the sermon is A Courageous Cooperation, about cooperating. And if you'll look, please, at Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 17. I hope you will look with us in the Word of God. Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 17. Then Nehemiah is talking, then said I unto them, you see the distress that we're in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And come, let us build up the walls of Jerusalem, and that there be no more reproach. Then I told them of the hand of God, my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's word that he had spoken unto me. They said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. But when Sanballat and the Horite and Tobiah the servants of the Ammonites and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing that you do? Will you rebel against the king? Then answered I them and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore we, his servants, will arise and build. But ye have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. Will you stand with me, please? And let's look at Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 20. Verse 20, the very last verse in this chapter. Verse 20. Are you ready? Then answered I, and answered the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore we his servants will rise and build. For you have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. Thank you. Be seated, please. As we look at this man, Nehemiah, who was one of the great heroes, really, off the Word of God, especially in the Old Testament, Nehemiah. He was a layman, just an ordinary man. He's not a prophet. He was not a preacher, but a layman. He was a cupbearer of the king. He was a government official in the government of the Persian government. He was courageous. He was not afraid. These are days for us not to be afraid. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. And God wants us to be courageous in our days. In the Old Testament, we see that word courage, which talks about being strong, resolute, vigorous, firm, and how to have confidence. We find the word courage in the New Testament, which speaks about a free utterance, openness, freedom, unfettered eloquence. And the dictionary speaks about the strength to venture, to persevere, to withstand, to be free of fear and of hardship and difficulty. Now, in those days, it was a very difficult time that they lived in. Zerubbabel, who came back in the year of 536, 50,000 Jews came with him. They came to rebuild the temple. And then Ezra came with 3,000 Jews later on. And then Nehemiah in 445 B.C. came to rebuild the walls and the gates of the city. In chapter 1, we see the prayers and the passion, the prayers of Nehemiah. In chapter 2, we see the request and return and review. And in chapter 3, we see the work prospering. But let's talk about the power of cooperation. It had been 140 years. The walls had been torn down for 140 years. The gates had been burned for 140 years. And yet, the people had done really nothing. Nothing had changed. Just rubbish and ruin. I do not know why. I do not know why they had done nothing. I do not know. But we see the power of cooperation when we work together. When we work together in our marriage. When we work together with our children. When we work together at the place where we work. As we work together with our neighbors. As we work together with our nation. As we work together. The power of cooperation. As we work together in our church. How important it is for us to work together. When I think about the power of cooperation, I think about the geese who fly south and fly north. And when you see them, they're flying in a formation. They're flying in a V formation. And there's something about it. God has shown them how to do that, because in that V formation, you can go about 70% further than you could otherwise. And you'll notice in that V formation, one side is usually longer than the other. And if one of the geese falls out, one goes with them to help them get back to where they should be. And usually there are those that are behind the geese in the formation who are honking and making all the noise when you hear them going over your house. You've heard that, haven't you? What they're doing, what they're saying in geese language, and I do not know geese language. I do not speak geese language. But they tell me that those geese who are honking is encouraging them to let's work together. Let's stay together. Let's get the job done. Isn't it strange that even nature that God made knows how to cooperate, know how to work together, and yet somehow we fail to understand the very principles of cooperation and fail to understand the power of cooperation, how that together we can do more together. If we have, there's some jobs that you know are one-person jobs. And if you had 50 people, you couldn't do it anymore. And so some jobs are one job, some jobs are two people jobs. But you can add another person if you need that person. And there are times when you can increase productivity 10 times or 20 times over one person. And so we need to understand the power of cooperation in every area, in every aspect of our life. I've said that even the Lone Ranger needed Tonto. Even the Lone Ranger needed Tonto. I mean, and we often say, well, you know, I don't want to act like the Lone Ranger. I don't want to feel like that I have to do all of these things by myself. And so cooperation does many things. But it removes the disgrace. 140 years, and the gates were down, the walls were down, and they were just there. And finally, people get to where they don't even notice what's going on. I've been to places, even here in Jackson County, and what they do, they just throw the garbage out the back door. They really do. It's an amazing thing, and I don't understand it, but they say that you can get accustomed to it. And evidently, they had gotten accustomed to those things. Disorder and all of the things that were, as I think about the disgrace that they were under, they said, let us build up the walls of Jerusalem that there be no more reproach. The debris was the disgrace. And it's amazing, I want to say, I've knocked on a lot of doors in a lot of places. It's amazing how people live. It really is. I'm saying some people live. It's amazing how some people live. Not just in Jackson County, but also my brother used to work for B.F. Goodrich. And he would go and collect and repossess things. And he said it was amazing, even in Barrow County, what you could find, people living. And so the debris was a disgrace. God does not want us to live in debris. And God does not want us to get accustomed to living like that. And cooperation removes the disgrace. I think about the disrepair. And I know that I'm preaching myself into a hole because my wife is here tonight. Man, you know how we say, I'm going to get around to it. I had a friend who gave me, have you ever had around to it? Yes, I had a friend who gave me around to it. And so men are really great, speaking for myself, not all of you, but we're going to get around to it. And when are you going to fix that? Well, I'm going to fix it. I surely am. I'm going to get that done. And it's so easy to get accustomed, and it's so easy to forget about how disrepair is not what we need. And it was dangerous. The walls were down. The gates were down. They were not safe. They were not safe in that environment of those days. I remember days when we didn't have locks on the door. You remember those days? Some of you do. We would leave. Sometimes we'd sing all over the country, all over the southeast, and we'd leave and go to Florida, and the house unlocked. In fact, we didn't even have any keys to fit the doors that we had. But there's danger today. We live in dangerous days. There are some bad folks out there. There are people who want to hurt us individually in our homes. If you don't believe that, just read the Jackson Herald. And I'm not trying, I don't get any commission on that, but it is depressing to read it, I want to tell you. The crime that is in our county, the things that are happening. I even read things about things happen down here on the Jefferson River Road. I believe I read several days ago about things that are happening here. And so the danger, the walls were down. It's dangerous when the walls are down in our home. It's dangerous when the walls are down in our home and anybody can go to any website that they want to. It's dangerous when there's no kind of supervision as far as the programs that are being watched in your homes. The danger is there. We're exposing our children to see things that they ought not to see and to go to websites that they ought not to go to. The discord was a disgrace. And so the people were not working together. They did not understand the power of cooperation. They did not understand how if a man and a wife will work together, or man and a wife and the children work together, or if in our home we'll work together, how different things will be if we would learn how different things would be if we could learn to where we work to cooperate, to learn to get along. I'm not talking about compromising. I'm talking about cooperating. I'm talking about being easy to deal with. I'm talking about being easy to live with. I'm talking about being easy to work with. And so the discord was destructive, paralyzing. And it's just as easy to be nice as it is to be ugly. It's just as easy to be kind as it is to be unkind. It's just as easy to be agreeable as it is to be disagreeable. Just remember that all of us are growing older. Every one of us, all of us are getting older. And the things that we're doing that we ought not to be doing will get worse as we get older, and they'll compile together. And I have seen people, I believe, that their attitudes have absolutely destroyed them in so many ways, destroyed them mentally, and destroyed them socially, and destroyed them in every way. And so it was disgrace, a discord. I think about how that cooperation restores strength. They said, let us rise up and build. Let us rise up and work together. Again, let me say, let us husbands and wives rise up and work together and understand the point of view that they're coming from and understand why they think the way that they think. It's so easy to, God wants us to, that cooperation restores strength. Just think about our body. Just think about our body when everything's working right. All the parts of our body are working together and cooperating together. Just think about how wonderful and marvelous that is. But there will be a day when some of the parts of the body don't necessarily work like they should. I told you that when I go get my driver's license to get them renewed, they stopped asking me if I wanted to offer my body parts. They just simply asked, is there anything you need right now? And so when everything's working great, it is incredibly marvelous and miraculous. And then when parts of our body stop, they fail to cooperate with the other part of the body. And you know, you read all these drug commercials that are on TV. I don't know how they could get along without them. They tell you, now you need to take this, it'll help you. But now it may cause cancer. It may cause you to kill yourself or kill somebody else. You might commit suicide. But hey, you need this drug. And the side effects of these drugs, and I've had doctors wanted me to take a certain medication. And I look at the side effects, and I say, I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't think so. I'm the ultimate arbiter of my health and my doctor. I will not necessarily take something that I think is harmful to my body. And so we think about cooperation as far as strength is concerned. We want to be strong, and we can shoot ourselves in the foot physically and mentally by the attitudes that we have, and we just cannot. There are people who just can't get along with people, and people who don't like to be with people and like to work with people. Someone mentioned to me about a certain state where someone lived, and I said, there are not many people there, are there? And I said, I like to be around people. Don't you? Amen. I enjoy working with people. I enjoy being with people. And I enjoy interacting with people. But there are folks who do not. And I want to tell you, as a person gets older, and they're antisocial, it's going to get worse and worse and worse and worse, and you're just destroying your own life. And so cooperation restores prosperity. And God wants us to prosper in every area of our life. I'm not a prosperity preacher, I want you to know. But God is concerned about your prosperity. And He wants things to be well with you. He wants you to have a good home. He wants you to enjoy a life. He wants you to have the things that you need. And so we see, number one, we see the power of cooperation. But secondly, look at the problem of cooperation. There are problems. The power. How our energies can be multiplied. So many times that we can't even imagine the productivity that can come and the power that can occur in homes and businesses and churches if we could just learn how to cooperate and realize the power of cooperation. But there are problems in cooperation. I think about the problem of diversity. There were 44 different kinds of people. 44 different kinds of people there. Nehemiah had to work with 44 different kinds of people. And so people of all, and he begins to talk about those people. And there are people who are builders, and there are people who are wreckers. And there's another class of people I call people who just wear stuff out. They just wear it out. They just wear it out. There are preachers like that, by the way. They're preachers who are not builders. They just go, and they just wear the building out. They wear the equipment out, and maybe wear the people out. And God wants us to be builders by His grace, and by His power. It doesn't take any skill to destroy. It doesn't take skill to destroy a home. It doesn't take skill to destroy marriage. It doesn't take skill to destroy relationships with our children. It doesn't take any skill to destroy a relationship with our siblings, with our brothers and sisters. And by the way, God wants us to have a good relationship with our brothers and our sisters. He wants us to be civil and to be civilized. I can't run the lives of my brothers and sisters. I have one brother and two sisters. I cannot run their lives. That's not my job. But my job is to do my very best to be a good brother and to be someone who loves them and someone who... And so there was the problem of diversity, all kinds of people. And so there's also the problem of debris. The debris had built up. And they refused. They had not built. They had not made any improvements. They had not done anything. And so the debris was so great there. And God wants us to take the ashes of the debris in our lives and build great things by His grace and by His power. There's a problem of difficulty. It's not easy to be a builder. It is not easy. I'm not talking about it being easy to cooperate. It's not easy being a good brother. I've got a baby brother, and there were years that I wanted to tell him what to do and how to run his life. I suddenly realized that that was not the course of action that I needed to take in order to be a good brother. And so I stopped trying to run his life. And maybe there's some of us here tonight who need to take a different course of action as far as our brothers and sisters. I ask you, do you have a good relationship with your brothers and sisters? God wants you to have that. And God wills for you to have that. And so there's difficulty. It's not easy. It's not easy to cooperate. It's not easy to be positive. It's easy to be negative. It's easy to be mean. It's easy to say, it's my way or the highway. Do you understand? I'm the head of this house, and you're going to do exactly what I tell you to do. Do you understand? I don't think that. God has not impressed me with taking that kind of action. God wants us to learn how to cooperate in our homes. About half of the marriages do not last. Why? Why is it? We talk about irreconcilable circumstances and all of those things. And yet the truth is, we haven't really learned to cooperate. And I know that they're difficult things. I understand that. I know that people make wrong choices. I know that there are people who get married and they don't pray about it. I know that there are people who get married and they don't talk to God and cry out to God for a long period of time. God, lead me to the person you have for me. And so there's a power of cooperation. There's tremendous, incredible power that we can have on our job. On our job. It has to do with, could have to do with something of you being promoted on your job. If you don't know how to cooperate, if you don't know how to work with people, if you don't know how to treat people, I want to tell you, promotions are going to be slim. And blessed is the person who knows how the power of cooperation in every area of your life. And the problems, there are problems. I'm not saying for a moment that it's easy to cooperate. And sometimes at times we have to swallow some of our big pride that we have of what we think about ourselves and who we are and how people ought to do what we think they ought to do. Number three, the people who cooperate. Amen, Brother Bill. There were two ladies in the rest home who had strokes. My mom died after a stroke, paralyzed on the right side for her body after 2.5 years. I know the terrible, terrible thing about strokes. And those strokes run in my mother's family. One of her brothers died of a stroke, and a couple of sisters died of a stroke. Her mother's mother died with a stroke. So I understand that. And I have it in my mind about that, of watching out for our blood pressure and all of those things. But there were two ladies in the rest home. Both of them had strokes. One of them was paralyzed on the right side and the other on the left side. Those two ladies had something in common. Both of them were excellent piano players. But how can you play with one hand, okay? You've got one arm paralyzed. And so the lady there at the facility where they were said, got them together and set them down on the piano stool, and the one who had the left hand working on the left hand side, and the lady who had the right hand working, and set them down, and they played beautifully together. You see, it's an amazing thing that we can see that happens when people cooperate. God uses all kinds of people. All kinds of people. And you know, we have to accept people the way they are. I did not say approve, but I said accept people the way that they are. And we start with that kind of situation. There can never be a solution to a problem, let's say an addiction, until a person is willing to say, I have a problem, or I am an alcoholic, or I am a drug addict, or I have an anger problem. That problem can never be solved until we come to the place where we're willing to say, I have a problem. And all of us have some kind of problem. All of us have some kind of problem. You say, I don't have a problem. Well, it's lying. That's what it is. Yeah, all of us have a problem. And you know what? It's more difficult for us to realize our problem than anybody else. People see the problem. Sometimes the husband knows what his wife's problem is, but she doesn't know it. Or a wife knows her husband has a problem, but he doesn't know it. And it's easy to see the beam in somebody else's eye or a splinter in someone else's eye, and we have a great big saw log in our eye. And so God uses all kinds of people. God doesn't have a cookie cutter that He makes people with. He makes every person different. Our DNA is different. Everything about us, really, is different. And so God uses all kinds of people. Can we realize that? That everybody doesn't have to be like us. And everybody doesn't have to do things just like we do. God uses all kinds of people. And leaders must set the example. Parents must set the example. After I got out of officer school, my first assignment was to be an officer in a basic training outfit. And it was the 3rd Division. And the 3rd Division, the blue and white patch, Audie Murphy was in the 3rd Division. A lot of great Americans were in the 3rd Division. And the cry of the 3rd Division, follow me. Follow me. As a boy, I could not understand why a parent would say, don't do as I do, but do as I say. And so as a boy, I did not understand why I could not smoke. Because my daddy smoked. And one of the worst whippings I ever got was one day as I got off the school bus and I saw my dad standing down there in the yard. And I talked about the blessings of the older sisters, but one of the downsides is they will tell on you. And it said, well, Daddy, we caught Bill out there behind the barn smoking. Now, it wasn't that I wanted to smoke. It's just that I admired my daddy, and he's my hero. And I thought, if he could smoke, it'd be okay for me to smoke. Do you understand that? We need to set the example in our life. We need to set the example with our children. We need to be the leader. And we need to say, follow me and do as I do. Have the kind of attitude that I have. Have the kind of love that I have. Have the kind of concern that I have. Be the kind of cooperating person. And don't have to have everything done your way, and that everything has got to be, you know, go in the bathroom and the toilet paper is going to be turned a certain way. It's strange, the little things that we get in our heads of things that are not important. What difference does it make? With a lot of things that we get bent out of shape about. It's amazing what people get hung up on. And so we're to set the example. And I mean, just a whole bunch of things that I've got a bad start. Bad start in life. I'm going to be a preacher. And really, I had a rugged start. I had a rugged start with language. Because I thought if Dad said that, then I could say it. Do you understand what I'm talking about? My dad was my hero. And so, one day, I uttered some of the words that he uttered. And again, my sisters lovingly told Dad about what his son said. And say, what'd your dad do? He didn't do anything. Because he knew that I learned those words from him. How tragic that is. How tragic it is that we don't realize how important it is to set a good example. We need to set a good example in church. I've never understood why people sometimes come to church and talk in church. Would someone talk to me after the service and explain to Brother Bill why people come to church and talk and whisper and punch each other and all that sort of thing? I don't, for the life of me, I can't understand it. Maybe you can enlighten me and help me to understand that. We need to set an example. What if we're in church and we're talking and there's somebody in the church who's lost, who doesn't know Christ as Savior, and we distract them by our talking and laughing and all that sort of thing? God is going to hold us accountable for what we do. And so we need to set an example everywhere we go and everything we do. There are some people, as I think about, God uses different kind of people and that we're to set the right example, but there are some people who will not work. There are some people who will not work. And here in Nehemiah chapter 3, some of them would not work. They did not work. They would not work. And God's Word says if they will not work, they will not eat. And yet our government does not believe that. Sometimes when I'm at the grocery store and I find somebody who has three buggies full of food and they begin to split it up, and they start here, you know what I'm talking about? You see, I could not necessarily afford three baskets full myself. I generally carry mine in my arms. And so God says there are people who will not work, and work is a four-letter word for them. And there are, heard the statistics of those who've given up and who are no longer working. And 40%, they said, of people in America are not working. They're not working. They're not working. How long can the people who are working support those who are not working, who are able, do you get what I said now, who are able to work? There are people who will not work. I'll tell you a story and I'll be almost there. I had a guy working for me one time. His name was Scotty. Scotty Martha, okay. And Scotty would not work. He was lazy, 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 lazy. So I came in one day and said, Martha, I'm going to have to fire Scotty
He just won't work. Martha said, well, Bill, you just don't know how to work him. You just don't know how to work him. I said, well, try at it, okay? Tomorrow I'm going to get him, I'm going to bring him here, and I'm going to let him work for you, okay? Okay, so sure enough, I left Scotty with her to work in the yard. And I got home that afternoon, and I said to Martha, I said, where's Scotty? She said, I fired him. And so there are people who will not work. And there are people in church who won't work. There are church members who won't work. There are church members who want all the perks and all the benefits, but who do not want to work. And they do not want to support the church. So there's the people, the power. I've stopped preaching and stopped meddling. I'll try to get back. I'm almost there. We'll put it in overdrive. The power of cooperation. Oh, the problems of cooperation. People who would not cooperate. Fourthly, very quickly, the places of cooperation. Let me mention very quickly. The gates, the sheep gate. They repaired the sheep gate. And the sheep gate speaks about the cross. And everything spiritual begins at the cross with Christ. The song, at the cross. At the cross where I first saw the light. And the burden of my heart rolled away. We must remember that everything spiritual begins with Christ and begins at the cross. Oh, the sheep gate, the fish gate, speaks about soul winning. Jesus said to those men, follow me and I'll make you famous. Is that what he said? No. Follow me and I'll make you rich. No, he didn't say that. He said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. The fish gate speaks about winning souls for Christ. The third gate, there were seven gates, the old gate. And God says, ask for the old paths, where it is good, a good way. Walk in it, and you shall find rest for your soul. Let's remember those things that work, those things that are real, and those things that are unchanging. Let's don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, okay? There's the valley gate. They repaired the valley gate. And I think about, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I think about the dung gate. That's a very a gate that I wouldn't want to work at, and it's a dirty place to work. And there's some dirty jobs in the home. There's some dirty jobs on the job. There's some dirty jobs at church. God wants us to be willing to do anything for God and anything for the glory of God. There's a fountain gate that speaks about the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. There's a water gate, and that water speaks about the Word of God, how that we need to read the Word of God, study the Word of God, memorize the Word of God. If we had to quote 10 verses to get out of here tonight, how many of you would spend the night here? Amen? Bible memory has fallen by the wayside. There are a lot of reasons for that. But if you don't memorize Scripture, you cannot meditate upon Scripture. You cannot meditate upon a verse you don't know. And so it's important for us to consistently and continually, I constantly seek to memorize the Word of God, even as gray as my hair is, and as I have one foot in the grave and the other on a banana peeling, I still memorize the Word of God so that I can meditate upon the Word of God. The horse gate speaks about spiritual warfare. Ephesians chapter 6 talks about our feet shod with preparation of the gospel of peace. We pray always with all prayer and supplication. We have the belt of truth about us. We have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We have the shield of faith to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. We have the breastplate of righteousness, the righteousness of Christ. We're watching always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And we have the helmet of salvation from the penalty of sin, the helmet of salvation from the power of sin, and the helmet of salvation from the very presence of sin. And so there's the Eastern Gate. And they repaired the Eastern Gate. That's the gate one day our Savior is going to come in again.
And those of us who are saved are going to be with Him when we come back 7 years after the rapture. We come back to this earth to set up the 1,000-year reign upon the earth. And so all of us have a place on the wall. What is your place on the wall? All of us, as in Nehemiah's day, have a place to work. We have a gate to work on. We have something to do. And God wants us to grab the bricks and grab the mortar and let the mortar start flying. And remember those geese that fly in that V formation. And remember that geese know how to cooperate. But do I know how to cooperate? And do you know how to cooperate? And the good news is, by the grace of God, we all can. Shall we bow our heads in prayer.